It seems to me that it can never go unsaid, the importance of, for Catholic people, what is being talked about in the Gospel today, and of course, it's referring to the Eucharist here. It's an adumbration or a foreshadowing, this multiplication of the loaves and fish. But to remember the power that we have available with a capital P, actually all caps, power, because power in the Scriptures comes from the word in Greek, dynamé, which is where we get the word dynamic, the dynamic presence of God in the world. Certainly through the coming of Pentecost, but most especially, particularly so, always to be emphasized because we have the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. That's a given. But something that is often missed whenever we read such scriptures as today, in the accenting of the multiplication of the loaves and fish, and again foreshadowing Holy Communion, the Eucharist, are the actions that are called Eucharistic actions in the Scriptures that are not only done in this particular pericope or Scripture, chapter and verse, but it continues to also happen in our soul life. And those actions are what Jesus emphasized, or Matthew emphasizing Jesus doing, which is to take, bless, break, and give. That's what he did at the Last Supper also. He took, he blessed, he broke open, and he gave. The first Eucharist. And he continues to do this down through time and space. He takes, he blesses, he breaks open, and he gives. And that is more than just those actions that take place in the Eucharist. Mine, for Catholic people, this also takes place in our soul journeys. God impacts us constantly with the Holy Spirit, whom we believe is everywhere because of Pentecost, strengthened by our own baptism, fed with the presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the proclamation of the Word. But it just doesn't say inside of the sacred space. God is everywhere, we learned as a child. Always was, always is, always will be. But there's a dynamic, a power that is going on in our own lives when we strive to be close to God. And if we get away from him for whatever reason, there's a dynamic that he does with us. He pummels us. He pesters us. He cajoles us. He whispers to us. Sometimes he shouts to us to get our attention, so that he can take us, bless us, break us open, and then send us out. By way of the breaking open, I mean that many times, and C.S. Lewis, as you know, is great for this in things like Screwtape Letters and Surprise by Joy. He talks about how God gets our attention. He gets our attention vicariously through what we see in the world by way of blessings, or trials, or tribulations, or crisis. He gets our attention in our own lives, whether it's a personal experience of a crisis, which means a turning point, or a trial, or a challenge, something that happens that I open up. He breaks into what we talked about two Sundays ago, that fertile soil that is inside there. So it's not a hard shell. It's not shallow soil. It's not full of weeds. He breaks into us, and there is, almost a cliche, an encounter with Christ on the level of our souls. That we have the indweller inside of ourselves who's always calling us to come to him for a particular reason, so that we can go out to others. Remember, salvation, according to Catholic teaching, is never just about Jesus and me and Jesus. It is all about the community of the world, that we are sent out to, yes, use that word, evangelize, which means to witness in whatever way we do that. Sometimes it's just by my own witness, my refusal to go to this place. I don't enter into this kind of conversation. I don't use a certain kind of language. I don't invest in a certain kind of entertainment. The purpose of baptism is to keep morality alive, and God knows in the world there's all kinds of temptations out there to compromise that and to water it down, and it becomes lesser or is eviscerated in the many things that can come at us that can become a false idol. But you see, God will be God, whether it's with our will or against our will. He can't help himself. He loves us so much that he wants us to be for him for eternity. So sometimes, many times, he takes us, he blesses us, he breaks us open, touching our awareness and dawning on us we need him and how much he means to us because we mean so much to him. And then we take that deposit, that learned lesson, that bit of wisdom, that leaving foolishness off, encountering the Holy Spirit. The seven gifts come to us, the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, compels me then to be sent out with the spiritual and corporal works of mercy, that he's constantly forming and reforming us. That's what he does. And of course, we can be blind to it or deaf to it or paralyzed by something that is weighing us down, usually our inability to forgive or our preoccupation with certain false idols, whatever they may be. But there's a yes but. God is going to constantly do the Eucharistic action because we are a Eucharistic people. Not only does he do that in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, both in Matthew with the multiplication of the loaves and fish, and later on also in the narrative about the Last Supper, but he does it to us always. He takes us, he blesses us, he breaks us open, and he fills us up, if I can add that, and then he sends us out to give to others what we have received. I can remember at St. Maria Goretti years ago, there was a young man who came and wanted to become a Catholic. He belonged to another Christian denomination, but he had something that he wanted to talk about, although he felt he didn't have the language to speak about something that was ethereal, transcendent, spiritual. He was afraid, as we're all afraid, that you're going to think that I'm, and then you fill in the blank, has something to do with lesser than. And he told me that when he was a child and all of his life, and it was the first time he was ever saying it aloud, he was riding a tricycle down a street where there was a Catholic church. His parents had just moved into a new home in a new neighborhood. They were busy unpacking. And rather than him getting in the way, they told him to take his tricycle and take a ride around the block. In doing that, he passed a Catholic church. He said there was a certain intuition, a certain palpable presence that I couldn't describe. He called it a tugging when he passed a Catholic church. What is attracting me to this? What does this mean? And those kinds of questions that we ask. He used to get goosebumps, he said, and it troubled him because he couldn't explain it. He didn't understand it. There was nothing in his experience thus far that was a like kind that would make sense to him. Time passed. The same thing happened wherever he was as he was growing up. Teenager, young adult in his 20s, getting into his 30s, which is about the time that we were meeting. And he talked about when he traveled, he would pass a Catholic church, be it a small place in a village or a cathedral in a city. And when he passed it, whether it was in a car or a train or a bus or he was walking, he felt this sensibility, this tugging. He had no idea what it was. He came to meet, in the business world, a young lady who was a Catholic. She invited him to come to Mass with him. By the way, something that we should think about once in a while, inviting some neighbor, some friend, some person that you know, why don't you come to Mass with me? It's a form of you being used to take, to bless, to break open and to send out, to invite him or her or them to that kind of dynamic of coming into the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And the young lady invited him to Mass. It was the first time he ever really went into a Catholic church. He said he immediately felt it at home. This is it. What is it, he said, about these places, he finally asked her, and described to him about the tugging, and then a certain sense of yearning, a fear of that. What did that mean? And she said to him, the only thing I can think of is that we have what we believe is the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. He is in, and she explained, the tabernacle, and that this is the real presence of Christ. It's not a sign or a symbol. He had never heard of such a thing in his travels and education. But he said it suddenly came into alignment, a certain synchronicity came together, a focus. And he was suddenly hungry, and he realized that what that was, a tugging to experience being fed. On all levels, we are fed in the Eucharist, body, mind, soul, heart. Everything is touched for the sake of conversion, for the sake of metanoia, change of heart, for the sake of enlightenment, for the sake of leaving off that which is artificial, so that I can open myself to what is authentic, so that I can be taken in, and I can be blessed, and I can be broken and fed again and replenished, and that soil that is in there, whether it's a shallow soil or a hard soil or a rocky soil, that's broken into to be fertile soil in the life of the soul. And God gives the grace, whatever that might be for every one of us, whatever our vocatio, our call, our vocation is, to have this encounter and this nurturance with Christ, that he can form us and reform us to be the person that we must become in order to experience everlasting life. That's why we were born, to be with him forever in heaven. And between the beginning and the end, there is a constant that is going on that reaps a multitude of graces, to borrow a term from Matthew's gospel. I might not be aware of the grace that God is giving me, or how he calls me to act out, and somehow or another, aware of it or not, I am modeling or evangelizing or speaking or avoiding things of the world or things even of darkness. And he may enlighten others out there to see that, to witness it, to sense it, that in that moment, they're being called, taken, they're being blessed, they're being broken open by the Holy Spirit who is using you, and you have been sent out, and the evangelization and the process of coming into a Eucharistic people takes place to the glory of God. I may not know that till I get to heaven, please God. He is subtle, sometimes radically profound and apparent, but many times the Holy Spirit is like a whisper, and he whispers to me to do this, go here, leave off that, go to confession, soul surgery. It's in that moment also that he takes the soul. He takes us, he blesses us, he opens us up. We pour out our sinfulness. What he puts in there is absolution, grace, and mercy. And then he sends us out to give to others what we have received. That young fellow finally experienced such a calm and such a peace that he became very active in that parish. And I haven't been there for a while. I imagine he is still there. But he is involved, or was before COVID, all kinds of things in the parish. And that has influenced his faith life and his relationships, and in that Catholic girl that he married in the church, and whatever life he has now. He's a person of faith. He multiplies, and that's what we are to do. The good actions and the presence of the Holy Spirit and what he says and does, not only as an individual person, but in the community. Because we're called to multiply that which God gives me, to influence others so that they are multiplied. It's like putting a stone in a pond and there is a ripple effect. So I suggest that we think seriously in the midst of all kinds of distractions and worries and problems and challenges and whatever is going on in the world. We remember who we are, a Eucharistic people. Christ is the head, we are the members. He uses us as the body of Christ, the church, the extension of Jesus Christ in time and space, to constantly experience him in conversion moments, times when he gets our attention. Sometimes, many times, please God, we experience the real presence of Christ. And then there are times when we complain about the real absence of Jesus Christ. Generally, it's the one that we have moved, not the Lord. He always is, always dynamic, always powerful. He is always taking us. He's always blessing us. He's always breaking us open, and he's always sending us out. So there's the tug that happens with us. We remember that all the world has been made holy by the dropping of the precious blood on the earth. The Holy Spirit has come in Pentecost and blesses everyone everywhere down through time and space. The earth is to be holy, and we are to keep it. Another word for holy is healthy and whole, in that particular stance, doing what we can. But it begins at home. It begins in the domestic church and in the parish church. This is why we continue to have a sensibility of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. When one passes a Catholic church, one remembers the presence of Christ. It's the house of God. We make the sign of the cross on our forehead, or we make the sign of the cross like this. You've just passed God's house. You were acknowledging the divine, the presence of the Son of God in the world, who come to save us from our sins. We acknowledge him. He acknowledges us. It is a relationship of heart speaks to heart. When I come into a Catholic church, I take the holy water when COVID's over, a sign of our baptism, and we make the sign of the cross and bless the physical self. Also, we genuflect in the presence of Christ whenever we get into a pew and when we get out of it. Generally, also, we make the sign of the cross. Those are Catholic signs. That says, I believe in the real presence of Christ, and he is here. This is God's house. We take care of what God gives us. We take care of our parish school. We take care of our parish house, this house of God, and our property. Francis of Assisi was big on that. In the 12th century, for as much as he was into poverty and all that goes with that, whenever he walked into a Catholic church to evangelize, and many of them were in villages besides what would be in cities, one of the first things he did was expected for cleanliness. He could not abide God's house not being taken care of. There are many stories of him getting a broom and sweeping the place himself, getting on his hands and knees and scrubbing the floor, wiping down dust, cleaning the linens, polishing the tabernacle. For as much as he was into poverty, he always said, nothing is too good for God and for God's house. That's a Catholic sensibility. I had a young man once say to me, he had come back from Rome. He wasn't a Catholic. His girlfriend was. And he was telling me he couldn't get over all the beautiful accoutrements in the churches in Rome, all the mosaics, the gold filigree, the gorgeous statues, the kind of furniture that they had, the transcendent roofs, the sense of, again, the tugging and the presence of God. He said, you know, there's so many poor in the world. Couldn't your church spend all that money instead of on that than on the poor? I said, the Catholic Church feeds more poor in its history and in the present day than it any government ever has. The poor you will have with you always. And because of the presence of Christ, the body of Christ, the church has always taken care of the poor and the disenfranchised. But I said, you have to remember that that's God's house. Jesus in the Eucharist is in that. It's to give him glory. He had never heard of the real presence of Christ. He knew nothing about transubstantiation. And then he said, if you truly believe that God is in that tabernacle and on that altar, that I understand why you put out your best for the best. We are very rich in our Catholic faith and what is called a Catholic sensibility. This is why we look at life as holy. We respect life because we were created in his image and likeness. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us who is powerful and calls us always. Out of the world, he takes us. He blesses us. He breaks us open and he sends us forth. In the end, we will be judged on how we love, on our charity, on our loving kindness. There is much in the world as we go on that seems to denigrate that. or disenfranchise it, or even exit out as it doesn't matter. It has always been so, though it seems to be getting worse. I think it's just more in our face than it ever has before. But there's a yes but. There is Jesus Christ. This is his house. It is holy. Holy means in the scriptures healthy and whole. This is a place where we come, where he takes us, he blesses us, he breaks us open, feeds us, and sends us out to multiply his presence in the world. May we be faithful to this.